I told you today was going to be Vision Day, and I want to go through with you what we have planned. Although planning might seem a little bit too strong a word, because we have a lot of, oranges in the air right now. But I want to lead you on the path that I believe God's been leading me, and hopefully we will come to a sense of what we need to pray for this morning. So we're going to talk about vision for the year, and I've just wanted to take a little bit out of that passage that we had read to us, Philippians 3:13, to say that the subtitle for this message is Reaching Forward to What Is Ahead. Who knows, you never ever achieve anything unless you reach out to it. Unless you can reach forward, you will never ever get anywhere. There will never be any change. There will never be any development. And we want there to be change and development in the kingdom of God. We want the kingdom of God to come. Jesus said every day, pray, your kingdom come. Well, unless we do that, unless we engage with the kingdom of God in prayer and in action, then how can the kingdom of God come? So we are always pushing forward in vision. And Paul says this in Philippians, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I love that verse because there's something vaguely poetic about it. It's a wonderful translation. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So Jesus took hold of you for purpose. And I am going to press on to take hold of that for which Christ has already taken hold of me for. So we are partnering with Christ in vision. We are partnering with Christ to be and to become all that we should do as a church. And I am really talking corporately this morning because, you know, a lot of what we talk about is individualistic. The gospel applies to each of us individually, but it also applies to us corporately. And Paul isn't just talking as Paul here. He's talking as the apostle to the Gentiles. He's talking as the man who personally took the gospel throughout Europe as far as Spain. And he even took the gospel to Rome and to other areas of Europe. Tremendous man. Everywhere he went, he left behind him an embryonic church. And sometimes it wasn't very embryonic. Sometimes it was what we would call today a mega church. And we thank God for that. But Paul, when he's saying, I'm pressing on to this, he's also talking about us joining with him, pressing on together. So pressing on together is a really important thing. You know, in the church, we can't always just do what we all see fit. It says in the book of Judges that in those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what they thought was right in their own eyes. And it's a damning verse, is that verse. There's nothing positive about it. What it's saying is there was no leadership, there was no guidance, there was nobody there saying to people, this is what you must do. And they were just doing any old thing. But in Christ, we are urged to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of us. And when you remember that verse in Ephesians that we are saved by grace, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. We thank that. But we are saved for good works that he has already prepared for us to do in Christ. And so there is a lot of things that we have to do to press on together. We need to continue to press on as a local body of Christ, loving each other, working together, being family to each other, being a people that are welcoming. We need to carry on with all of these things. And we also need to carry on playing our role in the city amongst the other churches of God as we work through one voice, as we cooperate with other groups of believers, and we do so to remember the Lord in all that we do. And so we press on together. We press on together with ground level so that nationally we have a voice. I was talking the other day to Terry, who's our ground level representative at Westminster. And Terry speaks for us. He makes sure that the feelings of the ground level churches are made known, so that if you were actually to look now at some of the documents coming out of Westminster, you will actually see lists of churches on the bottom, and ground level is one of them, because Terry makes our voice known, and we are able to do that. Stuart Bell regularly now is speaking in the House of Lords to Christians there. And there are amazing things that we can do as a group of churches that we can't do individually. We can petition our local MPs, and we thank God for them and we pray for them. But we can actually have a voice nationally through ground level. So we are pressing on together. We are also pressing on in prayer. Don't worry about anything, it says in Philippians 4. Don't worry about anything. Now, that would be good advice for us all, wouldn't it? Don't worry about anything! Do I need to shout it even louder? No, I won't bother. But, you know, if we could just hear this and believe it. Don't worry. But in everything through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God will guard your hearts. You know, if we pray, if we can liberate our souls by releasing our burden in prayer to God, peace will come. Sometimes peace doesn't come, because we haven't taken it to God in the first place. You know, we need to take our issues, the things that matter to us, the things that we're caring about as a church, and bring them to God. And today I'm going to be asking you if you will bring to God these issues of vision that I'm going to present to you, and if you will press on in prayer for me, if you will stand with me and press on in prayer over these next few weeks and months, that this vision will become reality. Because who knows that vision isn't necessarily a real thing. Vision is an aim, it's a goal. We have vision, but until we do it, it isn't reality, is it? And so we have to pray into our vision so that vision becomes reality. Are you with me? Everybody still awake? Yes, amen. The other thing is, in Romans 12, it says, be persistent in prayer. And the other thing about pressing on in prayer is we mustn't give up. It has this wonderful phrase, I think it's in Luke's Gospel, where it says, because Jesus wanted his disciples to always pray and to never give up, he told them this story. And the story is the one of the persistent widow who goes to the judge because she wants justice. And although the judge is not a godly man, and he's not particularly a picture of God in this story, but he's just an image of how you can persistently ask someone who isn't actually very just, and eventually they will give you justice because you keep asking. And Jesus is saying that we should also be persistent in our prayers to God, who is just and who will answer. And we need to understand that if we can do that, we can see the world change around us. And I don't have to take you back to the last 8 weeks where we've talked about prayer and how prayer changes things, but we have to understand that unless we pray, nothing happens. Nothing happens. Do you know, the only thing in this world that is impossible is nothing. The scripture says nothing is impossible with God. That nothing happens is impossible. That's the only thing that would be impossible. If we bring our prayers to God, something happens. Not nothing, something. We can change nothing to something with a single prayer. And I want to encourage you to press on in prayer. Be persistent. The scripture says, ask and keep on asking. Now, you might say it only says ask in my Bible, but it's a present continual tense. So when it says ask, it means ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. We are to do these things persistently in prayer. Then we need to press on in vision. Now, I want you to just walk with me for a few minutes into the Arabic plains where there's a man called Abraham. His tent is set up and all around is desert, it's very hot, arid place, and Abraham is a nomad, and he is passing through, and Abraham says that he is a follower of the living God. One day, we read in Genesis 15, God took Abraham outside and said, look at the sky and count the stars. Now, I don't know if you can imagine this, but I sort of imagine God said this in short sentences to Abraham. And I imagine he said to Abraham, look at the sky and count the stars. So Abraham, being a very devoted follower of Yahweh, would go outside and he'd start counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 98, 99, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, getting it wrong and starting again. And then God says to him, if you are able to count them, your offspring will be numerous. And it says that Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. God takes Abraham outside his tent, says, Abraham, look up, see those stars, can you count them? Abraham has a go, he fails, but God says to him, if you can count those stars, that's how many kids you're going to have. And when I'm calling him Abraham, of course, I'm calling him by the name we know him as, but actually at this time his name is Abram. Abram means exalted father, and he hasn't got any kids. But God changes his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. And he still doesn't have any kids. But Abraham believes God. He has this star field in his mind's eye for the rest of his life. And he remembers that night forever. And he remembers it because to him it's vision. God's given him a vision of how many children of Abraham are going to be there. And you know, Romans and Galatians and Hebrews talk to us about Abraham. And they tell us that basically these children that Abraham was going to have were not his literal children of flesh and blood, but the children of faith. I mean, the truth is, there are 14 million Jews in the world today. Thank God for them. Thank God for the heritage, the Jewish heritage. Paul says salvation is from the Jews, which means, of course, salvation is from Jesus, and Jesus was a Jew. And don't forget that, Jesus was a Jew. And we thank God for that. But there are billions of Christians in the world that at last count 2.3 billion people in this world profess to be Christians. That's rather a lot, as they say. It really is rather a lot. And we thank God that Abraham has many children. Those who have faith are the children of Abraham, is what Paul tells us. And we thank God for that. So we are encouraged today to be children of Abraham. We're encouraged to have faith in what God shows us. And what I'm going to show you now is what I believe God's shown me. And I hope you will also latch on by faith to this vision so that over this next 12 months we can become more than we are. Yeah. And do you believe that we should?
Yes.
I believe that we should.
Yeah.
So, church growth. Now, I talk about church growth regularly. And thank God for the people that come through our doors. Thank God for the people who come here for maybe a few weeks, maybe a few months, and they go on to other churches or they move cities and we help them find other churches. And thank God for all of that. But, you know, we need as a church to become a larger group. A, because that's what churches are supposed to do. B, that's because that is what is happening in our country. Remember, I gave you the latest statistics only the other week. 10% of people in this country go to church most Sundays. 10%! That's astronomic. In 1980, when I was a much younger man, in 1980, it was less than 3%. It's amazing. And much of that growth has come through the new church movements. And we thank God for all of them that have added tremendously to the church. And we know that it's 10% in the whole of England, because actually it's a bit less than that in most of England, but it's 20% in London. 20% of Londoners go to church most Sundays. And that's because we've got at least 5 churches in London now that have 20,000 in the congregation. And we've got loads of churches in London that are over 1,000. You know, HTB is about 4,500. And they've planted out at least 6 churches, to my knowledge, in recent years. And they've sent 60 people to each church. And, you know, those churches have typically got 500 in their congregation now. HTB are driving church growth in this country, amongst other things, with the Alpha course and other courses. And we thank God for all of these evidences of church growth. The reality is the Church of England has been growing every year since 2009. The reality is the liberals have all died out virtually. There are very few left. The evangelicals, the charismatics, are now representing what the Church of England truly is. And we thank God that this reality is coming about as church growth kicks in. And we know that some of our lovely neighbours, I mean, the Methodists are still in decline, United Reformed are still in decline, but there is virtually no one else declining. And the tide has turned in Europe. Although we live in the dark continent in terms of the gospel, we live in on the continent where there are less Christians than any other continent, but the reality is that has turned. And we thank God for that. It's a tremendous time that we're living in. We thank God for years of church growth. And we need to take this around and turn it around so that in our lifespan it becomes bigger and better. You know, if from 1980 to now we've grown from 3% to 10% nationally, then we can see that grow more to the point in which in the next generation we can turn around and say England is a Christian country again. All you've got to do is look at China. You know, China by 2020 is going to have the highest percentage of Christians amongst all the superpowers. It's going to overtake America, which is amazing. Absolutely amazing. So we're about church growth. What have we got going for us? Well, I think we ought to just consider for a moment today the positives that we have got that we can shout about. Firstly, we are a ground level church. That means that we are charismatic, we're word and spirit people, we are people who are relational in our theology, we believe it's all about relationship with God. So that's a very positive thing. We can represent ground level in York, and we can carry on that great modern tradition. We are charismatic, evangelical, relational, word and spirit church. All of these characteristics, which are mainly ground level characteristics, but some of them are just ours. But we are these things because that is who we are. And so we're not ashamed of who we are. We are who we are, and we thank God for that. We have great relationships. You know, as a church, our relationships across this city and across the nation are second to none. We get on with people so well. We are so blessed. We get so many contacts from other people wanting us to be involved with them, to partner with them. We thank God for that. You know, Libby is in Wales today at a church which I write for their yearly Bible in a Year thing that they put on their website. In fact, so does Pauline, so does Elizabeth. And, you know, Libby's there today. We have great relationships with them. And that's just one today. I could almost every day of the year tell you something about a relationship we have with another church. And, of course, our relationships extend beyond the church into the community, amongst counsellors. We've had one of our MPs here. We've had great relationships over the years. We thank God for them, and we will continue to work at that, because we don't believe we should work in a corner. We don't believe that we should be a church that draws inside itself and has nothing to do with anybody. We are not that kind of church.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Come on. It's great, isn't it? We're part of something bigger than ourselves. Hallelujah. We have great sung worship except for today. We have great preaching. We have great people. We have great people. We have a great website. Visits to our website are growing and growing and growing. I told you up to May the 21st, from May the 1st to the 21st, we had 9,000 unique visitors at our website, something like 1,000 MP3 downloads. We had, and who knows that there were 10 more days in May. You know, we clearly must have touched about 14, 15,000 last month. And that continues to grow, and we thank God for that. Our website is a huge resource. I was in a meeting with someone 2 weeks ago, and they introduced me, and they knew everything about me. They knew everything about you, and they knew it all from our website. They hadn't asked me for any bio. They just downloaded everything. And he actually said, and I was reading this on their website, and I thought, man alive, I must have written that 8 years ago, and he's read it. And, you know, the fact is our website is a great tool. It reaches people 365 days of the year, 24 hours a day, which is far more than I do. Yeah. And I thank God for that. So we've got all this going for us. Do you agree?
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it? But we've got nothing but God. You know, God's our provider. The truth is, there are a number of times we have gone to the very edge where we simply haven't had enough money to carry on. But God is with us and God provides. And the reality is today that, you know, we're doing all right. We've probably got a bit more in the bank than we've had for ages. And we thank God for that. But we have not got the resources to do anything more, really, than what we're doing. But who believes we should do more? Yeah, we should do more. So God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Who knows that actually God is our provider, but he provides it through people.
Yeah.
And thank God he is blessing you, and that is blessing this church, and through that we're blessing the world. And that is how we aim to continue. So let's not get all cocky with this and arrogant, saying we are God's answer for this nation. The church is God's answer for this nation. Jesus is the answer for this nation. We are part of the answer, and we must play our part. And other churches must play their part. Otherwise, we will get nowhere. But what we have, our uniqueness, the things that are definitely archish about us. Can we use that word, do you think? Can we say we're a bit archish? Do you feel a bit archish this morning? I think I'm leaning towards being a bit archish this morning. These things that are unique about us, we must release them into the world. We must demonstrate our love for people. Remember our value statement. If you don't remember it, go on our website and look up our value statement and look at the things that matter to us, and we are working those out. So don't forget, we have nothing without God. Now, I want to tell you a little story. In January this year, I went to the ICTHUS Leaders Conference. Jackie Pullinger was the speaker. That's a pretty recent photo of her. And I have to be honest with you, the last time I saw her was 30 years ago. And it was a bit of a shock. Because it made me realise we both aged. But Jackie was an amazing speaker. She hasn't lost any of her fire, I'm telling you. She doesn't work in Hong Kong anymore. She works in the Philippines rescuing children from sex trafficking. What a tremendous job she does, and we thank God for her. But I had one of those moments with her. You know what I mean, those moments? When you're in church and the preacher looks directly at you. He's looking at you. Oh, it was her looking at me. And you know that actually she's just looking randomly. But you feel like the preacher's talking to you. You know that, don't you? That's happened to you. I know that happens to half of you, half the weeks. It certainly does. You know, I honestly thought she was speaking directly at me. And then she is suffering from that thing that a lot of preachers suffer from. Bony finger syndrome. You know that, don't you? When all of a sudden the finger, the bony finger, reaches out and points. And the pointer points at you. You know that feeling, don't you? And she did this, and I really felt God challenged me, and it ruined my weekend. It ruined my weekend because I was so comfortable. But Jackie Pullinger brought me a message from God, and she said to me, "It's time you got back to planting churches." And I thought, I planted one. 13 years ago, it's called the Ark. And as I wrestled with this, because the honest truth is, it wasn't really at the forefront of my mind that I should be going church planting. After all, I don't want to leave York. And what's more, I ain't going to leave York. I believe God said to me, stay in York. I believe this is the place I should be based. And I intend to stay here. So don't panic anyone. Stephen's not leaving. Stephen is not leaving the building. But God said to me, you can plant a church where you were going to plant. Now, what does that mean? Well, I need to tell you a little story, another story. You're getting story after story today. You see, I feel that church planting is not necessarily going to another town, living there and starting from scratch and just doing what you do, but that actually we can plant a daughter church that is supported by the mother church, and that we can plant a church whilst remaining here and yet reaching out somewhere else. And the easy way for us to do that is to plant an evening congregation, because most weeks we don't have an evening congregation. So we could take Sunday morning and do it somewhere else on Sunday night. And that's the idea. And as we grow, we can take on additional staff as resources come in. So this is the way that I believe God was taking me in my thinking. So we will use existing resources without overstretching ourselves. And basically, what I would have preached here on a Sunday morning, I will go somewhere else and preach on Sunday night. And that's the idea. So, Leeds. Now, when Rocky was ill, I began to pray for the city of Leeds. You know that every day, when he was in hospital, I drove my daughters 23 miles from our house to St. James's to see Rocky. When he was home and he needed to go back in, we drove him 23 miles. But what we did whenever we got on the A64 was I began to prophesy to the A64. And I would always say something like this, "Oh, A64, you are a highway for the sons of God to plant the church of God in the city of Leeds. May the blessing of God flow from York to Leeds along this road." Yeah. And it was a simple thing. And I won't say it became routine, because it was never, ever routine. But it was something that I did daily. Yeah. And I started to think, well, Lord, at that time, we began to think about planting a church in Leeds. And, of course, as you know, we never did it. On a Sunday evening, it takes 36 minutes to drive there from my house. 36 minutes. It's easy, isn't it? It takes me 36 minutes to get to Haxby from my house. To get to Hubie, it takes me a lot longer than 36 minutes. To get to Leeds is actually very easy. Straight up the A64. Sunday night, not much traffic. It's not like the weekdays. On the weekdays, it can be 45. It could be 47 minutes. So, this is what I'm thinking of. So in 1998, I began to prophesy over the A64. In 2003, when we hit the difficult situations that we did hit, and I found myself planting this church in York, God said to me at the time, you know, you could plant the Ark in York if you wanted. And I just took that as, oh, well, okay, that's it now. We're planting York and that's fine. And we've been here quite happily for years. But I believe God has said to me, it's now time to go back to that vision and plant into Leeds as well as. So originally we were going to be 23 miles away in a particular area of Leeds, and that is what I am trying to bring about right now, because that's where our second ark will be. Now, with all of this, we need to have a bunch of realism. We will not be able to do this unless God helps us. We will not be able to do this unless you pray. Let me make this really, really clear. It's not just a matter of Stephen and Libby going and Libby leading worship in Leeds, which she desperately wants to do, and me preaching in Leeds, which I desperately want to do. Unless you were part of this in your prayers, it will not happen. We're not going to go off half-cocked and produce something that we have to shut down immediately because we can't afford to do it. But we are working on doing something with a Methodist link. I've put a big question mark there because we don't know yet whether or not we can do it. I have followed a procedure. I have spoken to the Methodist superintendent for York, who is right behind us on this. He thinks this is a great idea. I spoke to Stephen Burgess, who is the I don't know what he is now. He's the head bod of Methodism at the moment, covering Leeds until he retires at the end of this year. And Stephen Burgess said to me, well, he went a little bit sort of bit weepy on the phone, and he said to me, Stephen, he says, I just don't know which of our churches will continue to exist without support from churches like you. And I said to him, well, come on, Stephen, we've got our better hope than that. We can do this together. And you know, Stephen Burgess is a good man, and we thank God for him. And he put me in contact with the superintendent for the Leeds circuit, and I spoke to him, and he said to me, where are you thinking about? And he said, well, you need to speak to this minister. And I've spoken to him, and we've had a couple of meetings, and we've had a look round a number of buildings, but we do not have a place yet. So I need you to pray that God will make this work, that God will make this possible. You know, that's a photo for example up there. But there are churches that we can partner with. And whereas we've moved to the city centre in York, and I see that as a good thing, I do feel called to start on an estate again, like we did in Foxwood. So that is the plan. So I want you to pray with me that this will all work out. Potentially, we may have to do this without a Methodist link. But I think this has worked so well for us here, and we've got this wonderful ground level pioneer partnership with the Methodist Church. We thank God for the Methodist Church. All that we have here is by the good grace of the Methodist Church, and we rejoice in that. So potentially we may be able to do something similar in Leeds. But we aren't looking to have our base there. This is our base. What we're looking is to have a point of outreach. So basically all we're looking to do is to be able to rent a place. And that is what we're talking about. So, what are our aims? Our aims are to offer Leeds our unique mix and reach out to a needy estate. Our aim is to give it a trial run, about 14 weeks in the run-up to Christmas this year. This is a huge ask. You really need to pray. You really need to pray. We'll give it full web support. We'll leaflet an area. We will go in and we will get a lot of support initially from other churches, because there's a ground level church at Yeadon, which will be our nearest ground level church. There's Destiny Church in Leeds that we've built great relationships with through Libby. And also there's another church in Leeds that we've got a decent relationship with. And they've all said that they will come and support us on our launch. So, you know, we can imagine we'll have a decent crowd to start with. And then what we need to do is build up a local base of people who want to be part of us. Anticipated launch date. Please note the choice of words. Anticipated. Anticipated. I am sort of hoping right now that we can get this off the ground on the 11th of September. Yeah. Being very specific. I do believe we should pray specifically. I really do. Listen, if this moves on, and if we have to do this in January, we mustn't think it's a failure. But we have to aim for September. Otherwise, it's never going to get going. So we're going to aim to launch that night. Won't that be a great day? It'd be fantastic. So this is the shock for you. I believe that God has said to me, he wants me to plant three churches this way in the next 5 years. Sharp intake of breath. I sort of think I know where the other two are, but I'm leaving that a little bit with God, because I think God wants me to get this one going first. But if you think about this, it really means every 18 months we launch something new. And I think that's a good way of growing. And it's a good way of using the same resources in different places. If you think about it, you know, if you're promoting an event, you can have the event on different dates in different places, but you can produce one poster for it and just get them all printed together and dish them out in the different places. You know, there's lots of economies in working this way. So this is what I believe God has said. And ultimately, it's up to me to make this happen, because I believe God said it to me. I'm not saying that God has said this to you. I think God said this to me, and I could be wrong, because I ain't perfect. But this is what I am believing for. This is how I am my driver over the next few years. So how will it look? I realize this is going on a little bit of time. I apologize, but we're nearly done. This will be one church in four locations, ultimately. It will have one staff team pastoring it. We won't just put a pastor into a place and leave him there. We will do this as a team, covering all the churches. But what about York? Now, what I've said to you is about another thing. We must have a vision for York. And we do. It's special. We're going to carry on doing the sort of things we've always done. We're going to have a great program of worship and teaching all year. In September this year, we're having a prophetic weekend. That's going to be absolutely good. Saturday and Sunday, we've got two speakers coming in, Ray Shepherd and John Andrews coming in, and it's going to be a weekend of prophecy where people will hear from God. In October, we've got a men's conference booked. In December, we're going to have a great Christmas program. I can't be definite about anything right now, but I have to say that Avengers Assemble is coming to mind, and I think we might have Captain Lithuania, and we might have Iron Man, whose secret identity is Morphy Richards. Think about irons. Okay. But we might be doing something with the Avengers this Christmas, but we will be doing something of outreach and reaching out to the community and also giving them the gospel. So that's what we've got planned for here. But there are big social problems in our city as well as in Leeds. And the two biggest social problems are loneliness, which is prevalent in the elderly population, but also in the 20s in particular. It's in every age group, but particularly the 20s as well as the older ones. So we are going to also look at the issues regarding antisocial behaviour amongst children and young people who claim they have nowhere to go. So these two, the biggest social problems in our city, we are going to bring a programme, hopefully, which will deal with it. So we are awaiting the outcome of a bid, which the guy who's doing this for us, who knows the people who are giving us the money by Christian name, and he's CCing me in the whole daisy chain of emails, he assures me this is going to come. But we would aim to run a number of drop-in sessions every week for the lonely. These might include lunch clubs, Silver Surfers, that's PC training for older people, Alpha for the over 60s, a film club, mother and toddler groups, which that isn't aimed at the over 60s, but you know, the lonely, the 20s, over that, craft groups. We hope to do more work with the Manor House, and there'll be other things that we'll do as well. As we're also awaiting bid money to work with children and young people, we see a homework club being run from this building, a midweek kids church, a kids film club, a youth cafe, probably working in cooperation with Redeeming Our Communities, which, as you know, came to York recently and did a big presentation. And so, subject to this, we are aiming to have 3 additional full-time equivalent workers. Now that means 3 full-time people or 6 half-time people or so on, or a combination of the two. It may be that we employ some people for 4 or 6 or 8 hours. It may be that we employ some people full-time. But this bid would allow us to do this for 3 years, although they are upping the bid at the moment to give them a 5-year option, which that would be good as well. And they're also looking at giving us a one-off grant to run halves every week, which we run once a month at the moment. This would include specialist youth worker, specialist children's worker. It would include other people doing other jobs, but it would be dependent on volunteers. And one of the big jobs will be and pulling volunteers together and managing them. And ultimately, it is totally dependent on God. It's totally dependent on your praying. It's absolutely down to us as a corporate body to make this happen. So, what about you? Well, we need volunteers who will do kids' church once every 4 weeks. The demands will not be onerous. It will be, will you go out and do kids' church as part of a couple, two people going out each week? Will you do it once every 4 weeks? What about the welcome team? So we've always got people on the door. You have to have a smile for that. You have to be welcoming, but would you do that? What about the kitchen rota for Sunday? We have got no bill this morning. Somebody needs to stand up and fill the gap, but we need a kitchen rota for Sunday. We need a DIY person. Kelvin and Paul and I came in this week and put up our new notice board outside, which I bet none of you have noticed. But it's there and it's good. It's going to be populated with stuff this week. It's just got a heading on it at the moment. But thank God we've got a joint notice board with Trinity Methodist Church. Isn't that a good idea? It's wonderful, isn't it? So there's plenty of space for us to display what we're doing. So, we need you, basically. We need you to pray. Pray that this vision comes to pass. We need workers. Vision never comes to pass without workers. Yeah? So we need to pray for workers. Pray for the expansion of provision to match vision. Always remember that provision has got vision in it. Those two words are near neighbours, and we need provision to match vision. Pray for York, and also pray for Leeds. Pray for me. Pray for the leadership team of this church. Pray that we get this right. And pray that I'm not stood here next year saying it didn't happen. Seriously, pray that we make this work. So, would you pray with me? Would you? Come on, I'd just like you to stand with me. You've sat down long enough. Something must be aching by now. If you are able to stand, please stand. If you're not able, that's fine. But let's just pray to God, and maybe one or two of you will pray after me. Father God, we come to you in the glorious name of Jesus. Father, we need you. Father, we need you. Lord, you sometimes ask us to do things that are quite unreasonable. And Lord, this is one of those things. Lord, how can we plan something that we've got no money for in York? How can we plan something in Leeds when we haven't even got quite the wherewithal to do that? How can we do this? And yet, Lord, I believe you are calling us to do this. Well, Lord, if you call us to do it, you will no doubt provide too. So, Lord, we come to you and we just say, will you bless this vision? Will you help us as a church to corporately come together to be active in this vision, to really make things happen? And Lord, will you bless us abundantly as your church? We pray for the whole church in this city. We pray for the whole church in Leeds. We pray that your church in these two cities will grow in the next 12 months. And we ask you that we might play a part in that growth, that we might play a recognized part where we are leading people to Christ, people who have no church background, people who don't get it at all, but people who will meet the Lord Jesus and know him for themselves. Father, will you help us in this? In Jesus' name, amen. One or two of you want to pray, you just pray.